Here's the trap that many of us fall into when cultivating belonging and community, and I think the church is guilty of this as well. And it's this. It may seem easier and faster to build relationships with those who are just like us or who we naturally get along with, but the gospel calls us to something more. The gospel calls us to something else. In other words, God's vision for community and belonging are so much more expansive than we could ever imagine. Scripture makes it clear, the ultimate ethic for the follower of Jesus is love. Paul regularly, he fought against this spirit of division and this us versus them mentality when he said in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. What was he making a point of? He was making the point that the things that make us unique and different are beautiful and they should not divide us. They should give us the opportunity to celebrate one another, to celebrate the uniqueness of the people that God has brought into our lives. God's love compels us to be ministers of reconciliation, to not fall into the hostile or divisive ways of the world. I don't know if you notice, but especially on social media, there always seems to be walls of division between groups, whether it's over race or gender or sexuality or class or politics or faith. But the point I'm making is Christ commands us to demolish these man-made walls through the power of love. If we look at Jesus, Jesus was open, generous, and service-oriented toward all people. He didn't discriminate in the way that he loved others, depending on who they were or what they were like. But how many of you know this is hard? This is really hard. This is one thing to preach or say, but to live this out, it's hard because the gospel calls us to love our enemies, to be with people who are different from us, to invest in people that we may not necessarily completely like. Parker Palmer, he once wrote, community is that place where the person you least want to live with always lives. And when that person moves away, someone else arises immediately to take his or her place. Can I just be real with you? I would be lying. I know I'm a pastor. But I would be lying if I told you that I liked every single person that I've had to pastor. Not right now. I mean, I like everyone right now in our church, but in the past, I'm talking about in the past, I would be lying if I said I liked every single person that's come through the doors of our church. If I'm being real, there's honestly some people I just can't stand. Like there's some people, not in our church right now, but in the past, there are people that I cannot stand, and that's not because I'm an a-hole. It's just because I'm human. And you probably experience the same thing. You've been in groups, you've had teams, you've been part of community groups where you might not necessarily like everyone you're in groups with. That is a normal human thing because we're all different. But I always anchor myself on the vision of the type of community that God is calling us to build as the church. A community that isn't like the world, a community that isn't hostile or divisive towards people who are different, a community that isn't dismissive of people that are hard to get along with, a community that really embraces God's call to welcome anyone and everyone. And that goes beyond loving those who are easy to love and loving those who are at odds with all that we are. A community that doesn't withhold belonging to those who are different from us. And this is why the order of the five practices of belonging that we've been going through are really important. Last week, we talked about the first practice of belonging, which is priority. We first prioritize and commit to others. We don't make sweeping assumptions about people before getting to know them. And this is important because if we only prioritize people that we easily got along with, there would be no room for us to grow in love. But the gospel calls us to something more. But the second practice we'll be exploring today is chemistry. I ordered a lab coat on Amazon and it didn't come on time. I'm sorry, but just wanted to get into the part. What is chemistry in the context of relationships? You know, we often think of chemistry when it comes to romantic relationships, right? If you've ever been on that date and there's just no chemistry between y'all. And that was the last date, right? But when you find someone that you have chemistry with, someone you click with, you just get each other. You know what I mean? Not even have to say anything. Your conversations are effortless. You finish each other's sentences. Thank you. I just want to be in sync with y'all. You have the same interests, the values. There's an attraction to one another. Time seems to disappear when you're together. You know, when Chris and I first started dating, and she lived in Sacramento, I used to live here in the Bay, and we'd be on the phone. And literally, we'd start the phone conversation at like 10 p.m., and then we'd look at the clock, and it feels like only an hour passed by, and it would be like 4 a.m., and she'd be screwed because she has to drive all the way back to the Bay for work from Sacramento. But time seemed to disappear when we were together. There was this chemistry, right? Or think of chemistry when it comes to sports teams. Right now, the Lakers do not have good chemistry, especially against the Nuggets. It's really tragic. But how well a team plays together, how well they communicate with each other. You know, Krista and I don't mean to brag, but there's this game on Nintendo Switch called Overcooked. And Krista and I are the champions. I'll put money on it, $100. None of y'all could beat us. We have strong chemistry. And what I mean is, like, when we're playing together, sometimes we won't even need to say anything. We'll just give each other the look. There'll be an internal spiritual vibe that just rubs off that says, you make the sushi, I'll cook the grill. Whatever it looks like, we just seem to have chemistry when we play together. By the way, I'm not really putting $100 out there. We're just good, okay? Trust me, we're good. Chemistry in the context of community isn't all that different like chemistry in relationships or chemistry in sports. There are two expressions of chemistry that I want to focus on today. The first is natural chemistry. In 1 Samuel, David and Jonathan, they meet for the first time. A young David had just slain the giant Goliath, and he gets summoned in to talk to Saul, the king. And 1 Samuel 17:18 says this about his relationship with Jonathan. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Excuse me. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Another translation, the TLB says, there was an immediate bond between them. There was like this natural friendship and chemistry between David and Jonathan right from the jump. Have you ever met someone that you just hit it off right from the beginning? Not even romantically, but even just friends. And when you hung out with them for the first time, something just clicked. And you knew you were going to get along really, really well. Back in college, I was part of one fellowship. And one of my best friends now, he was a part of another fellowship. And our college fellowships, they did one joint fellowship together one night, and we gathered in a house. So it was two different college ministries gathering together. That was the first time I met my friend Daniel. But when I met Daniel, maybe it was because we were two of the only Koreans in the room, but something clicked. And I don't know if you know this, but there's some weird thing about college Korean males where they just bond over stories of poop and like near-death experiences with poop. I don't know why. It's just we're weird like that. We're wired. And we found ourselves like laughing hilariously, talking in the middle of the room loudly, telling stories about poop and near-death experiences with poop. And we just kept bonding. And there was this chemistry. And it got to a point we were laughing so hard, we looked around. And everyone else was like, it was like a circle. They made a circle around us and we were in the middle. And everyone was quiet. And it was really awkward, but we were just hitting it off and connecting. Have you ever met someone that you just clicked with from the very beginning? This is natural chemistry. But this is the problem we often face in the church. We confuse the call to love everyone to mean we're supposed to experience tight-knit community with everyone. We're called to love everyone, yes, but we're not necessarily called to experience belonging with everyone, and that's okay. There is a way to both live a life of love and lean into those who we naturally get along with. And Jesus shows us that the two don't have to be at odds. As we read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus, he was open to the crowds. He taught, he served, he fed, he healed, he ministered and loved the crowd with open arms. As followers of Jesus, we need to be as open and inclusive to the outsiders as Jesus was. We shouldn't discriminate based on what the world tells us should divide us. But at the same time, Jesus, as he was open to the crowds, Jesus also clearly chose a circle of 12 disciples that he spent most of his time with. He even had an inner circle of three within that circle of 12 who were his closest friends. And he was unapologetic in his prioritization and enjoyment of these disciples. And this is a reminder that human chemistry exists, and it's a beautiful, natural, and needed thing. The great C.S. Lewis once said, I love this quote, one of my favorite quotes of mine, people who bore one another should meet seldom. People who interest one another, often. That's chemistry. When you're drawn to someone and there is an ease and there's a natural momentum and flow in your relationship. And so we can have an open posture of love toward everyone and still prioritize those who are closest to us. It's not an either or situation. It's a both and. The vision is to have the crowd, the 12, and the 3. In other words, we don't need to write off chemistry and compatibility in our relationships for the sake of the gospel. It's not wrong to have friendships that are naturally nurturing and easygoing. I don't know but if y'all experienced this, but when I was growing up in youth group, one of the biggest fears that we had, more than wearing purity rings and stuff, was cliques. Like, it was like a buzzword that you never said. Like, we can't have cliques in our youth group. We can't have cliques in our church. And I found, when I was in youth group, our teachers would like break up people that were just naturally friends so that we could be more affirming and opening to everyone. But I found that that's actually not what God wants. There's actually beauty in the natural chemistry that we share with people that we meet. There is nothing wrong with it. But we have to learn to differentiate between cultivating deep relationships, investing in those we have chemistry with, as opposed to having a closed off, unwelcoming posture toward others. We have to recognize the nuance between click, like my youth teachers were afraid of, and click, C-L-I-C-K, which means sometimes we just click with other people, and that's okay. And it's beautiful to lean into those we click with. But the second type of chemistry that I want to spend the rest of our time talking about is created chemistry. While it seems like chemistry just happens, it's actually something we can work to create. You have to remember, among Jesus' disciples, there was Simon the Zealot, and there was also Matthew the tax collector, who actually came from opposing extremes of society. Simon, he wanted to overthrow Rome. Matthew worked for Rome and benefited from Rome. They couldn't have been more opposed. They were enemies. There was no natural chemistry between them. And I imagine it took a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work for them to learn how to love each other, learn how to be part of the 12. In other words, their chemistry was created. It took work. Steve Kerr, RIP Warriors, by the way, I'm sorry, guys, head coach of the Warriors, he regularly talks about how he builds and leads championship teams. And he often shares that one of the things he does to bond his people together, bond his players together, is through humor. By creating a fun and playful atmosphere, he found that people, they let their guards down and they create spaces to connect. Right? Chemistry can be created. Maybe it's through shared meals or time spent together. Maybe it's through setting clear goals and expectations. Maybe it's through experiencing hardship together. But of course, this is easier said than done, because God made us with wildly different temperaments, values, personalities, and backgrounds. But with intentional effort, the gospel tells us that chemistry, greater chemistry, is possible. And you'd be surprised how many people you thought you could never have chemistry with that end up becoming your closest friends. That same friend where we bonded over farts and poops back in college, we ended up being on staff together at a church. We were both pastors. And our Enneagram types, if you guys know anything about Enneagrams, I'm an Enneagram type 7 and he's an Enneagram type 6. I'm all about the limitless possibilities of what we can do. He's all about how can we avoid any conflict, or how could we avoid any pitfalls or danger as we approach different things. And so he was always more cautious. I was a lot more reckless. And when we were on staff together, I would always bring up ideas. And he'd always give us 3 angles to approach that idea towards that says maybe we shouldn't do it, or maybe we should go slower, or maybe we should try something else. We didn't have chemistry there. It took us years to build that chemistry together, even as close friends. How much more that some of us, we need to build chemistry with people that we don't get along with. But there are a few other categories of chemistry that I want to consider. The number one thing is brain chemistry. God designed our brains to release a hormone called oxytocin through social interactions, through singing, and through physical contact. In other words, these things that we do around each other, they actually enhance feelings of meaningful connection and bond. In other words, the more you laugh and sing together and make eye contact, giving high fives and warm hugs, the more you build chemistry with one another. And this is one of the reasons why Sunday gatherings are so essential. If you remember during the pandemic and we were all watching church from online, you probably felt really miserable like I did. You probably felt really alone. Why? Because there's something about being in the presence of other people, making eye contact, singing together, that actually increases the feelings of belonging and togetherness. It actually increases chemistry. You know, I share this story often because it was a very traumatic childhood for me. But when I was young, especially in first grade, I had no friends in the playground because all my friends started to play football and basketball and I was just not into it. And I remember I had no friends during recess. And so I'd hate going to recess. But I don't know how this started happening, but I found this one kid who was from India. And we had never, I don't even know his name. All I remember is what he looks like. But we would go to the same corner on the playground every recess. I don't even know how this started. But we would sit down together and we would just start singing, "It's a small world after all." Like literally, I don't know what his voice sounds like apart from singing. I don't think we ever had a conversation. But somehow, every recess for like a few months, right when the bell rung, we would go to that same spot and we just start singing until recess was over, not say a single word to each other and just leave. I don't even know if he really went to the school. Might have been an imaginary friend. I don't know. Maybe he didn't even really exist. Maybe it was just too traumatic for me to be alone and I made it up in my psyche. I don't know. But the act of singing, I don't know if you know this, but there, when it comes to our brain chemistry, there's something that happens when we sing together that actually draws us closer together. That's why Swifties, that's why the BTS Army, they're unstoppable. There's something about singing together that actually draws us together, that helps us experience connection and belonging. The second thing, friendship chemistry. Research from Cal State University San Bernardino identified the most relevant elements to friendship formation. You guys ready for this? This might be really helpful. They found 5 key factors that are important for friendship chemistry. The first is reciprocal candor, which means being able to say anything and everything with one another honestly, not having to like dance around words, but to be completely honest with one another. The second is mutual interest, finding each other funny and interesting, not being bored, being genuinely curious about the other person. The third is personableness, being warm, caring, and down to earth, whether it's through physical affection, words of affirmation. There's just a down-to-earth feeling that they're approachable and personable. The fourth is similarity, whether it's shared values, beliefs, or morals, or even interests. You know, Daniel and Gianna aren't here right now, but Daniel and I really bonded over comic book geek movie stuff, and there was a similarity, a similar interest that drew us closer. And the fifth is physical attraction. Now, they say that at least experiencing one of these things, one of these 5 factors, actually increases chemistry, the friendship chemistry between you and another person. All of these contribute to improving the bond between each other. Now, with all this said, we're talking about chemistry and how to create chemistry. With all that said, we have to also learn how to take care when mixing or navigating difficult people. Have you ever been part of a group or a team and there's someone that's added later or maybe from the beginning that just throws off the balance or the equilibrium of that team? My dog Fig, for whatever reason, he does really well in twos, but as soon as you throw a third dog into the mix, he goes into beast. He gets demon possessed. Like he goes into full chihuahua mode. Like his best friend is my sister-in-law's lab and they love each other. But as soon as another dog comes into the mix, whatever dog he knew, even if it was like 30 seconds more, he knew the dog 30 seconds more than the other dog, he'll start attacking and defending the dog that he knew longer, right? Have you ever experienced in your group, in your teams, when someone was added, somehow just threw off the equilibrium? That's always the case in relationships. If you've taken a chemistry class, you know how important mixtures are. I once heard a story about this chemistry teacher who passed out in high school in his class because he mixed the wrong chemicals together during a class demonstration, and the students had to open all the windows to remove the toxic gas. Like, that's how important it is to get the mixtures right. And in the same way, there are some chemistry explosions that happen in our relationships that harm everyone around them. And there's several toxic traits that we have to watch out for that disrupt belonging. And it doesn't mean we need to exorcise the person or cast them out. It simply means we have to look out for these disruptions, people who exhibit these traits, and we have to set up healthy boundaries or relationship skills, or they need to be avoided altogether. And yes, you can love others as followers of Jesus and still hold healthy boundaries. It's actually really important that we do. A few things that we might need to look out for: people who overtalk, people who constantly talk to fill in conversation with their words. They don't know how to listen. They drain the energy from the conversation and everyone around them. You've been around people that do that, right? The second, people who bring everything back to themselves. They generally crave being the center of attention. People who criticize often, people that often judge and criticize, they're generally uptight and turn everything into a teaching lesson. They take themselves way too seriously, and generally they're just not fun to be around. And last one, people who victimize themselves. They carry so much burden that they need to suck up every time and space to unload their burdens onto others all the time. They believe the world is against them, and it always feels like you're walking on thin ice with them. You can have amazing chemistry in a group, but if someone with any of these strong toxic traits gets thrown into the mix, it could potentially kill the vibe. But here's the thing. Maybe the problem isn't others. Maybe it's you. I mean, I'm not saying it's you, but it might be. If people are frequently withdrawing from you, or if people are constantly setting up boundaries around you, maybe they're not the problem. Maybe you need to take an honest look at yourself. All this to say, chemistry, it takes a lot of work. It takes work to create chemistry. It takes chemistry to protect, or it takes a lot of work to protect chemistry, to preserve chemistry. And all of it's important for us to experience belonging in our relationships. Now, there's three action plans that I want to leave you with today to help build chemistry, create chemistry in your lives with people. The first is this: exchange stories. In a world where we regularly rush toward judgment and assumptions and writing people off, curiosity goes such a long way. There's nothing more dismantling than approaching someone and saying to them, "Tell me more about your story." One of the most beautiful ways to build chemistry with others is to share your stories, because when we share our stories with one another, we bond by our common humanity. We find traces of ourselves in other people's stories. C.S. Lewis in The Four Loves, he once said, "Friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover that they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which the others do not share, and which till that moment each believed to be his own unique treasure or burden." The typical expression of opening friendship should be something like, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." I love that. Friendship begins with, "What? You too?" You know, there's not a lot of Survivor fans in the world, but I love Survivor. Survivor is probably the greatest TV show of all time. It's been running their past 40 seasons. They've been on the air for over 20 years. But I don't meet a lot of Survivor fans. And I was genuinely ecstatic and happy when I found out that Steph also loves Survivor. We were just randomly having a conversation, and this is exactly what I experienced. I said, "What? You too?" And this is what friendship is built on. Maybe it's not Survivor. Maybe it's your value for finding community. Maybe it's your value for Jesus. Maybe it's your value for serving the community here in San Francisco. What are the things that you can find relation with in others as you share your story? So the first is exchange stories. The second is identify your values. And I think this is one I want to hearken on, because we don't really do this often. Whether in your workplace or your marriage or your friendships or your church community, it's important to find people with whom you share core values with. Without shared values, most relationships will ultimately hit a wall or break down. Without shared values, it's difficult to form deep belonging. And so this week, one exercise that I want to push your way is take time to identify what a few of your top core values are. What is the kind of person you'd like to become? What's really important for you to invest in? Are you surrounding yourself with people who will help you become that person? And I think all of this will help us get a better sense of what relationships to invest in, what relationships God's calling to cultivate and bloom. And then the last thing is reflect on your relationships. Think about the time that you spent with people throughout this week. Is my tank full after spending time with this person? Was it life-giving? Do I miss them? Do I feel encouraged or strengthened after being with them? Do I like who I am around them? I don't know if you've experienced this, but there's some groups where I'm in where I don't like everything about myself when I'm in that group, especially in the past. Like, parts of me come out that I don't like. And it's important to reflect on our relationships to determine what relationships should we invest in, what relationships should we cultivate chemistry within. And so exchange stories, identify your values, and reflect on your relationships. I want to close with a time of response. So why don't we close our eyes? Chemistry could be a really beautiful thing. Chemistry could be something that God is calling us to be thankful for and be gracious for, whether it's people in our lives that we naturally click with, that we naturally have friendship with. Or maybe chemistry is something God is calling us to build, to create in the lives of people where it's hard to get along with, or people that are different from us. I want you to ask God right now, this week, how are you calling me to lean into this practice? Maybe it's simply investing more time or making more of a priority for those that you do have natural chemistry with, that God is calling you to build that friendship with. Maybe God's calling you or challenging you to create chemistry in some of your relationships. Maybe it's with that person at church or in your community group you haven't really clicked with or got along with or find it hard to approach. Maybe God is calling you in this season, challenging you to create more chemistry.